time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you this week from the beautiful Bitterroot Valley of Montana. Joining me like he does each week is the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. Stone is coming to you from his broadcast center in the Sunshine State of Florida. Well, Stone, it was a very successful trip for us to Bozeman, Montana. Hell of a football game. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but we got two more FBS scouts last week, and I want my scouts, y'all. So congratulations to Bryant, who beat UMass 27-26, and Long Island, who beat Eastern Michigan 28-23. Stone, when you look at the UMass program, that was a team that won a national championship when I was in school. They have been just an embarrassment in FBS. Please, Lord, or whoever listens to prayers and lamentations, let them come back down to FCS and play meaningful football games again. And for Long Island, they never trailed in that game at Eastern Michigan. That was a pretty good win for both those FCS squads. In other action from around the subdivision last week, number one, North Dakota State 59, Tennessee State 3. Not a whole lot to see here. The Bison continued their march through the South. It was a very successful one. They gave up 3 points in 8 quarters against the Citadel and Tennessee State. I'd say that Bison defense is in midseason form.
Not only is this team marching through the South, they're stomping through the South. In this particular game, 9 different guys caught passes. Love that stat for CP. Tennessee State did not have a single first down in the first 2.5 quarters of play in this one. At your stat with the Citadel and Tennessee State on top of that, you got a North Dakota State squad that has Nashville in their sights. Another victory by a wide margin. These boys are used to it.
433 total yards for North Dakota State to just 131 for Tennessee State. Complete domination by the Bison. Number two, South Dakota State 30. Number three, Montana State 24 in double overtime. Stone, I don't believe anybody in America had a better seat for this football game than the two of us. It was hard fought. It was physical. It was everything we thought it was going to be. My only gripe was some very poor special teams play, and it's lucky that it didn't cost South Dakota State the game. Montana State was poor in that facet of the game, too. I think that's more just early season, need to get that operation down against live bullets, so to speak, than it is not caring about it or it not being important. But circle that for both of these teams. It could hurt them later on in the season.
Best seats in the country out in Bozeman for what was truly a clash of the Titans. Like, seriously. Two evenly matched teams going at it for more than 4 quarters. Not just 4 quarters, more than. It took the South Dakota State team not 1 overtime, but 2. This game was awesome. Number 2 versus number 3 going toe-to-toe. But Kevin, both of these teams, I suspect, as they get this tape from the past 2 weeks underneath them, will look back and see the groups that are on the field, and the groups that were on the field in Bozeman, are now shells of themselves. Which isn't a crazy statement. It can be said for most teams looking back at a Week 2 game. I just get the feeling these two teams are still learning who they are. Nonetheless, they gave us double overtime, instant classic in Bozeman. Like you said, best seats in the house. Got to see it straight up.
And we thought that Montana State would pack the box and try to make Chase Mason beat them, the South Dakota State quarterback. He kind of loosened them up a little bit after that first drive where he completed some passes. I think that the Bobcat fans and even that sideline was a little shocked that he was able to take them down the field that quickly, that easily, throwing the football, Stone.
Chase Mason's good football came in spurts, but what you mentioned and the ability to throw the ball early and often, that died off. You didn't see that sustained through 4 quarters. Montana State made the adjustments, and it just turned into a knife fight. Like I said, clash of the Titans, two teams just butting face masks for 4.5 quarters.
Number 4, Tarleton State 59, Mississippi Valley State 3. Well, it was a bad day to be an HBCU team with State at the end of your college's name. We saw what North Dakota State did to Tennessee State, and Tarleton State did basically the same thing to Mississippi Valley State. Jerry Rice didn't play, so Mississippi Valley State didn't have much of a chance, Stone. Victor Gabalas, 20 complete 295 yards and 5, count them, 5 touchdowns. I'll tell you what, I think right now that guy is the leader for FCS National Offensive Player of the Year. Number 5, Idaho 37, St. Thomas 30. A little bit too close for comfort if you're the Fighting Taters from Idaho. They had to struggle a little bit. This was a football game. St. Thomas came to play, Stone. The defense just couldn't get off the field on third down if you're Idaho. That's got to be maybe some schematic things, maybe some things that Coach Ford can fix. But a win is a win is a win, and this this was a D1 win. It was the first of Coach Ford's career, so congratulations to him. I got a feeling he's going to win a hell of a lot more ball games out there on the Palouse. Lamar, 20, number 5, South Dakota, 13. This was an upset of monumental proportions. We tried to kind of prepare people that Lamar was going to be better this year. They were better last year. This is not a team that you could just pencil in a win for and not even need a pencil. You could do it in pen before the season started several years ago. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They ran the football, and South Dakota had no answer for it all afternoon long. Signal victory for the Lamar Cardinals football program here.
Epic proportions is an understatement. You're speaking in hyperbole there. This is obviously the biggest non-con win in program history for Lamar. They got outgained by the Yotes, but held them to just 3 points. In the second half, 3 points. That right there is case closed on how you lose a football game. Doesn't matter who you're playing. You scored 3 points in the second half, you're going to lose. The Coyotes lost. We could do an entire episode on this one right now, but this one shook up a lot of the Valley. People had to kind of brush their eyes to make sure what they saw was real. This is ginormous for Lamar.
Are you hitting the panic button in Vermillion right now?
I'm not. Obviously, I'm going to lean on Aiden Bauman. He's played more football than pretty much over half of the subdivision combined. So I like this team to bounce back. And if you're them, you got all the conference games ahead of you. You got beat up by an FBS school. You let one slip coming after that, but you got your whole season ahead of you. So I expect to find this team sneaking one of the other Dakotas and getting themselves back into the mix.
Number 7, Montana, 42, Central Washington, 17. Good win for the Grizz. It wasn't easy, though. This was a close game at the half, and the quarterback situation didn't really do the thing that we wanted to see it do, which was Ayat take complete reins of it. He threw 2 interceptions. That's got to be cleaned up. But the Grizz did shut him out in the second half. I imagine that the pain in the locker room was peeling around the defensive coordinator and head coach Bobby Howe with them not being pleased at what they saw in the first half. It was a different Montana Grizzlies football team there in the second. And in teams who I think I know who they are and that they're pretty good, West Georgia, 34, number 10, Nichols, 10. West Georgia dominated this from Jump Street. And a certain someone picked this as his upset special of the week. You're welcome, y'all. And West Georgia is not eligible for the playoffs, but right now they're playing like they're not only a team who belongs in the playoffs, but could make some noise there, Stone.
They're playing football with such tenacity, and they're flying around the field on defense. They're obviously one of the best coached ball clubs in all of the FCS. I know plenty of people who tailed you, Kev, with the upset special of the week and are very thankful. I don't know if there's a single show out there, if there's a single platform that has given out West Georgia over a Nichols plus 250, plus 300, outright banger, keep the points, but you, sir, you did. And this West Georgia team, it's getting a lot of pub right now, and we were way ahead of the curve.
Number 22, Tennessee Tech, 45. Number 18, Chattanooga, 17. We gave you this one too, y'all.
Kevin, we both picked Tech confidently in this one. The wrong team was favored, just to put it plainly. This Tech team is good. They're going to continue to climb up the rankings. They're going to beat the teams that they should beat. Obviously, not a wise statement, but there are teams that let some slip. We just talked about South Dakota. Tennessee Tech is going to handle who they need to handle. This game was never close, just like Long Island. They never trailed in this ball game. Huge win for Tech in the confidence department.
Tennessee Tech rushed the ball for 221 yards, and they held Chattanooga to just 38 rushing yards. That is a recipe to win a whole lot of football games going forward. The replay segment brought to you by GameStrat. Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com. It's time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have last week's Player of the Week. We'll put a bow on last week. And following that, this week's brand new FCS Nation Radio Top 25. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Here are the FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The National Offensive Player of the Week is Julius Loughridge, the fine running back from South Dakota State. Last week versus Montana State, 23 attempts for an even 100 yards. And folks, that was a tough 100 yards. And more than that, helped lead his South Dakota State Jackrabbit football team to a road win against the number 3 ranked Montana State Bobcats. The FCS Nation National Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Luke Banbury, linebacker William & Mary. All he did last week, 15 tackles, 9 of them solo, and 3 pass breakups. He has 30 tackles in 2 football games, ladies and gentlemen. I'm no math genius, but that's 15 a ball game. That's quite the clip. Congratulations to Julius Loughridge from South Dakota State and Luke Banbury from William & Mary for being named FCS Nation Radio's National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And I hold in my hand this week's FCS Nation Radio Top 25. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Number 3, Montana State Bobcats. Number 4, the Tarleton State Texans. And rounding out the top 5, the Idaho Vandals. People have asked us, Stone, why did you keep Montana State at number 3? And I think the reason for that is, yes, they are 0-2, but they've lost to Oregon, and they've lost in double overtime to South Dakota State. How can you move a team down who's done that?
You can't move a team down who's done that. There's no reasoning that is warranted at all why you would move this ball club. Who are you putting in front of Montana State? That's what I would ask somebody. And I would listen with open ears, but I just don't necessarily think anybody behind them is a better football team than them. And you cannot punish them for losing to an Oregon Ducks squad and a South Dakota State squad. You just can't do it.
It's close, though. Tarleton State is nipping right at their heels. Number 6, the Montana Grizzlies. Number 7, the Illinois State Redbirds. Number 8, the Villanova Wildcats. Number 9 is Rhode Island. And rounding out the top 10, the Southern Illinois Salukis. This group has a lot of question marks. We mentioned Montana and Illinois State. We don't know a whole lot about them. Montana's only played the one game, and Illinois State has played Oklahoma and Morehead State. You'd have to have a crystal ball to know what to expect from the Redbirds going forward. I don't have one of those. But Rhode Island has a very tough game this week. They go on the road to Holy Cross. And folks, Holy Cross is 5 points away from being 2-0 and having an FBS win and a win over New Hampshire. So that's not going to be an easy trip for Rhode Island. We're going to find out a lot about them this week, whether they're worthy of this top 10 ranking they've enjoyed since the preseason. Southern Illinois, I thought, went on the road last week to Purdue and acquitted themselves pretty good. Stone, we were both tempted maybe that they could win the football game. It didn't work out that way. But what were your takeaways of that Southern Illinois team and how they competed at FBS Purdue?
They competed. You took the words out of my mouth. They clearly showed us that they belonged. Of course, we have them the highest in the top 25 poll than anybody else in the country. That's because we know teams like this better than anybody in the country. This is a top 10 team. Again, similar argument for Montana State. Who the heck are you putting in front of them at this very moment?
Number 11, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Number 12, Austin Peay. Number 13, Lamar Cardinals. Number 14, South Dakota. And rounding out the top 15, UC Davis. This group is intriguing. You've got North Dakota, who has a huge game this week at Montana. You have Austin Peay, who has an FBS win and then went to Georgia and competed much better than anybody thought they were going to be able to, Stone, including you and me. And then you have Lamar, who just beat South Dakota. So you can't rank South Dakota ahead of Lamar, can you? I mean, some people do. That's why our product is eminently superior, because we don't do dumb things like that on a weekly basis. And also, this UC Davis team is intriguing. Got destroyed last week, had a nice little FCS win sandwiched between those two, but I don't know who UC Davis is either. I know their quarterback is pretty darn good, so that's why they're staying at number 15. Number 16, Lehigh. 17, Jackson State. 18, the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. 19, Tennessee Tech. And rounding out the top 20, Gardner Webb. I think we might have Tennessee Tech a little low, and that's probably my fault on that. I think Tennessee Tech should probably be a little bit higher in these rankings. I expect him to climb them with a bullet going forward. Number 21 is Tennessee Martin, entering the top 25 for the first time in school history at number 22. West Georgia, falling to number 23, the Nichols Colonels, entering the poll at number 24, Abilene Christian, and rounding out the top 25, the Presbyterian Blue Hose. And people scratching their heads going, who are the Presbyterian Blue Hose? Well, they're a Pioneer League team, y'all. They beat two SoCon teams already. They went into Furman and beat the Furman Paladins last week. Week before, Furman had beat William & Mary, usually a pretty good football program out of the CAA. Presbyterian, this is not just love for that school because they're from South Carolina and so am I. This is earned respect for the Presbyterian Blue Hose. That ranking was earned. It's deserved. And that's a pretty darn good football team out of Clinton, South Carolina.
And guess what? For the audience out there, I sat down with a signal caller for Presbyterian. And his words scalped the Furman Paladins. They scalped a top 10 preseason team in the Mercer Bears. This Presbyterian team, it's not a two-week wonder. These guys got juice. Colin Hurst has these guys rocking and rolling right now. When you look at that schedule, it's hard not to laugh. This Blue Hose team is going to win a lot of ball games, which will then equal them climbing the ranks. So look out for this Blue Hose team, and also major, major shout-out to West Georgia. This team is the real deal. They're a top 15 ball club. They will get there. They are deserving of that.
It's time for a timeout. Don't touch that radio dial. When we come back, it'll be time for the preview segment. Following that, Alex's Lemonade Stand Northwestern Mutual Honorary Captain of the Week. And right after that will be the pick segment. All of that and much, much more is coming up next, right here on FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Lebanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, SEMO is at number one, North Dakota State. Stone, is Paxton DeLaurent still suiting up for SEMO?
No, sir, he is not.
I mean, I know he had the COVID year last year, but he was there so long, I thought maybe he might have had a Spanish influenza year that nobody was aware of. SEMO's not the squad they were. Normally, in this spot, we'd be talking about, man, SEMO's got a shot. They can make it a track meet. DeLaurent could have thrown it 70 times. SEMO's not that ball club this year, are they?
With all that being said, though, Kevin, this is still contrast in style. SEMO, although they won't throw it 50, 60 times, they're still going to throw it 30, a little more than North Dakota State has seen up to this point, week three. So, nonetheless, this North Dakota State secondary better come prepared because they will get tested. And for that, you'll have my attention. I watched this one from start to finish because I feel like we haven't had an opportunity besides watching some tape to see this Bison team actually play some football. So kind of excited for this one, not going to lie.
Drake is at number two, South Dakota State. These Pioneer League teams have been doing some things this season so far, Stone, and it's not just Presbyterian, who we talked about in the last segment being ranked number 25. San Diego beat ranked Southern Utah last week. I don't foresee the Jackrabbits having that much of a problem with Drake, if any at all. But you have to maybe think they start off a little slow. Travel week last week, tough physical ball game. Drake has an opportunity to hang around in this one for just a little bit, I think.
I can't get behind any of that right now. I actually think the opposite effect will take place for the Jackrabbits. I think there are so many glaring mistakes on tape that you spent all week trying to correct, and nobody better than Drake to take it out on. So this one's going to be ugly, and I look for South Dakota State to clean things up, to play a full game of football. This is Jackrabbits written all over it, Kev.
San Diego is at number three, Montana State. We just said San Diego beat a ranked squad last week. No cakewalk for Montana State. But you have to imagine they're all pissed off, Stone, after really nothing went their way against the Jackrabbits, and they were still right there in the football game, took them to double overtime. This is a get-right game, I do believe. Even though San Diego is a better opponent than maybe they'd like to be playing in this spot, won't be a cakewalk. It'll be a football game for a minute, but I expect the Bobcats to outclass San Diego here.
Same rules apply here as what I just said about South Dakota State. You have 2 weeks of ugly tape. And the first one in Oregon, you're getting beat up. You're getting beat up by guys bigger than you. You're outclassed. And then you're at home against South Dakota State. Nothing really went their way. They didn't execute it in certain moments where they needed to snatch this ball game away from South Dakota State. So they're hungry. They're foaming at the mouth. And I think the one glaring stat here is that Montana State is 0-2 through 2 weeks of the season. You don't get to say that very often. They'll notch a win in that column this week.
Number four, Tarleton State is at Central Arkansas. It's weird not seeing a ranked hashtag by Central Arkansas, isn't it? Tarleton State ranked number four on the stripes, Conway, Arkansas. Tarleton State played week zero, and they've won two more after that. Travel could maybe be starting to be an issue for Tarleton State. This will be a good measuring stick for the Central Arkansas Bears. You win this one at home, defend the stripes, and you put FCS World on notice.
Sometimes Will McElvain wasn't even enough for Central Arkansas to win football games there, mainly because that defense was just an open door. And who do you have strolling into the stripes? Tarleton State, one of the best offensive units in all of the subdivision. This is a tasty matchup. Tarleton State's going to put up 40-plus points. UCA is banged up, coming off of games from superior opponents. They'll fight for a little bit, but I expect the motor makeup of this offensive backfield to just keep these guys chugging along.
Utah Tech is at number five, Idaho. The opponent is better for the Idaho Vandals this week. Cannot afford to play like they did last week on defense, or Utah Tech will hurt them. Utah Tech is a team that gave UC Davis all they wanted a couple of weeks ago. I like this Utah Tech team. They have a lot of pieces. They're going to put it all together 1 week, and they're going to beat somebody they have no business beating. You just have to hope it's not you if they're on your schedule. Don't like this spot for Idaho. Need to be careful with Utah Tech. They do a lot of things on offense that defense did not look good against last week for the Vandals.
Yeah, this is a very scary matchup. Tech played really well last week. Idaho did not. You beat a St. Thomas team by a single touchdown here. This is very intriguing. I couldn't tell you midweek what this line is going to be spit out at us at. A little nervous for Idaho. And if you watch the tape, if you're Tech, this is a gettable game.
Number 11, North Dakota is at number 6, Montana. North Dakota's a funny team, Stone. A bunch of guys catch passes for them. A bunch of guys run the ball for them. It's like every position that is a skill position is by committee. You rarely see that in FCS ball. Generally, you got two or three really good guys, and then the drop-off is immense when you get to the third and fourth guys. This is a game that is not a good matchup for Montana. North Dakota knows who their quarterback is. They know what to expect from him, what he's done so far. Ayat cannot throw two picks in this one, and the Grizz cannot start off slowly like they did against Central Washington, or they're going to get beat here at home in Washington Grizzly Stadium.
This is a 3-point spread. You said North Dakota is a funny team. North Dakota is hysterical. When you watch this team jog out of the tunnel, not a single player on the roster scares you, but they are a true FCS football team. They are the epitome of why people love the FCS. This team is tried and true. They're going to recruit the same styled classes they do year after year after year. They're just one of the most well-rounded coaching staffs, regardless of the turnover, regardless who's calling the shots. It's not Bubba anymore. It's Schmidt. Doesn't make a difference. This team almost took out a Kansas State squad, played really well again last week. And for them, they think they're going into Washington Grizzly and leaving with a win. And for that, this has potential to be game of the week. The Fighting Hawks think they're going to win this one. Montana knows they should. This is a 3-point spread. And that's just because they're playing in Grizzly Stadium. Can't lie to you. I'm pretty jacked up for this one, Kevin.
Number 7, Illinois State is at Eastern Illinois. This will be the 113th playing of the Mid-America Classic between these two schools. Eastern Illinois, no longer the school of Tony Romo. It is certainly no longer the school of Jimmy Garoppolo. They've been down for a while there in the other fake Charleston, the one that's in Illinois, not the real one that's in South Carolina. But this will be just like we talked about, Stone. Even after this ball game, we're not going to know a whole lot about Illinois State. I think they probably win the football game without too much of a problem against Eastern Illinois, who got beat by Indiana State last week. Eastern Illinois is falling on hard times. Don't think this is going to be the year where those hard times end. Number 2 of the FBS, Penn State. How do you preview this one, Stone? The answer to that is you can't. You don't. Villanova's going to lose, and by a lot. just stay healthy, do some things that are good on tape, give yourself some confidence, and get the hell out of there. Sound about right?
Yes, sir.
Number 9, Rhode Island is at Holy Cross. This is the sneaky good game of the week, y'all. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Holy Cross, 5 points away in the first 2 weeks from having an FBS scalp and a CAA win over New Hampshire. Well, both those were on the road. Now they welcome number 9, Rhode Island, into their place. Not a good spot for Rhode Island to be in. Holy Cross has good guys up front on the offensive line. Quarterback play has been better than we have expected the first 2 weeks. This is a scary position for Rhode Island to be in. Number 10, Southern Illinois, is at number 21, Tennessee Martin. This ball game was at Southern Illinois. I think the Salukis probably handle them pretty easily. It ain't, though. It's in Martin, Tennessee, where Tennessee Martin plays really good football. This is the program that has been winning that league year after year after year, but is still underrated come playoff time. This year, they're kind of starting in the weeds a little bit, earn their way into the preseason top 25. That's just because we kind of know what to expect from them, not getting a lot of love anywhere else. This is going to be a very tough ball game for Southern Illinois. DJ Williams has to be the difference in this one, Stone.
You can do all that talking, all that walking around eggshells. You know what's coming for UT Martin. The Dogs are going to trample them. This is a spot where Southern Illinois is just waiting to bust out of that cage. I think they do just that. This is an opponent that Southern Illinois has played UT Martin a lot. I've played UT Martin a lot. So there's plenty of tape to go off of. But for UT Martin's sake, there's not much DJ Williams take. And I think head coach Nick Hill will come out aggressive with these openers. I think they're going to try to put up 35-plus on UT Martin. Love this matchup.
Morehead State is at number 12, Austin Peay. Well, we said it last week, Stone. There's levels to this thing, especially in the FBS. Morehead State coming to town was an awful nice elixir for Illinois State after they got beat up by Oklahoma. Well, that elixir, she's a coming to town twice with Morehead State visiting Austin Peay after Austin Peay opened the season with 2 FBS games. One of them they won, one of them they competed very well at Georgia. Not a lot to see here. I think it's Austin Peay. If they don't help Morehead State a whole bunch, they ought to win this game by multiple touchdowns.
Peay looked fantastic against the Georgia Bulldogs. I cannot stress that enough. I don't want to speak in hyperbole, but I'm going to. Austin Peay is a top 10 ball club in the FCS, and every single person involved, every single person in this facility knows it. This team's playing with juice. Look out.
Number 13, Lamar, is at Texas Southern. You know what, Lamar? Had a very impressive win last week against highly ranked South Dakota. The way you continue to earn national respect is by backing that up with a victory over Texas Southern, who you ought to handle. But I think Lamar is just too good of a football team right now. They ran the ball pretty effectively last week against a Missouri Valley football team defense. I expect that to continue. They need to develop more of the passing game, though. Maybe they'll get a chance to work on that against Texas Southern.
Yeah, I think they will. It's time to back it up. Just cannot have a hangover here in this spot. This is a team that you should handle quite easily.
Northern Colorado is at number 14, South Dakota. Well, for Northern Colorado, you got one stolen from you on the road last week against Colorado State. If fans haven't seen the instant replay of the touchdown that got taken off the board that would have won the football game for the Bears at FBS Colorado State, Google is your friend, y'all. It's one of the more egregious things I've ever seen in my lifetime following college football. Ed Lamb's a good coach. He will get his fellas at Northern Colorado back up off the mat, and they'll show up this week to play a South Dakota team. There's only one word to describe the Utes in this spot, Stone. That's desperate. And with desperation comes maybe trying to do a little too much. They need to play within themselves, trust the steady hand of quarterback Aiden Bauman, and they will probably come out of this thing with a win. But if they press, they're in a whole lot of trouble against a Northern Colorado team that is improving.
There is not a single person whose hands I want the ball to touch every single time that are out on the field more than Aiden Bauman in this one. Talk about bad taste in their mouth. I get it. The no-co call. I saw it. It's criminal. But South Dakota, Aiden Bauman, they got a point to prove. They cannot lose any more games that they are favored in. They'll take care of business, no doubt about it. Time to bounce back.
Number 18, East Tennessee State, is at number 22, West Georgia. Can the Wolves keep it going? Can the Bucks bounce back from giving up 70 against Tennessee last week? two FBS quarterbacks working in rotation for East Tennessee State. Can that work? Will it work? Remains to be seen. West Georgia, though, they know who their quarterback is. They know what they're going to do. A lot of question marks coming into this one for the East Tennessee State Buccaneers.
You know me, and for those who have been listening, I cannot stand a two-quarterback system. I've yet to agree with anything Bobby Houck has done up there in Missoula. What East Tennessee State doing is, I think, worse to a degree. You're bringing in two guys from the FBS. Nobody has taken the reins yet. This West Georgia team doesn't give a damn. They'll prepare for both. They'll be confident against both. You ask the question, can West Georgia keep it going? I think so. This is a sneaky game of the week, and you need to get eyes on it, especially if you've been watching how West Georgia has been playing football lately.
The Citadel was at number 20, Gardner Webb. Citadel defense was outstanding last week, Stone. Bunch of interceptions, fumble recoveries, special teams touchdowns. They definitely bounced back and put that North Dakota State loss behind them. Saw it for what it was. Gardner Webb, they have an impressive win against Western Carolina earlier on this year. They trailed that game 35-7 and got up off the deck and came back and won that thing. So Gardner Webb is a team that has a lot of pride, has a lot of poise. Citadel is going to need that defense to lead the way. The offense is getting better. This is a sneaky good game of the week as well. Citadel going to Gardner Webb, not to show, but to win.
Listen, this ain't your auntie's Citadel squad. These dogs can play. You saw them put up 40-plus last week. They don't give a damn who they're playing. I have it circled. I have it highlighted. I'm excited to get eyes on this puppy.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. This is the pick segment where Stone Lebanowitz and I butt face mask, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, SEMO is at number one, North Dakota State.
Like I said, I'm watching this North Dakota State secondary. They'll be tested, but I don't think enough. Give me the Bison 30 to SEMO's 13.
SEMO isn't what they have been in the last few years, and the Bison, they'll handle them easily. Take number one, North Dakota State, at home over SEMO 38-10. Drake is at number two, South Dakota State.
I like the Jacks hopping all over the dogs here. South Dakota State 48, Drake 7.
I hate the Drake in this one. Take number two, South Dakota State, at home 34-7. San Diego at number three, Montana State.
You can say all you want about San Diego. I'm not listening. I'm closing my ears right now. This game is all about Montana State. Like I said, they're 0-2. They're going to be 1-2. They're going to kick some tail and correct the mistakes that they put on tape last week. Like the Cats here, 40 to San Diego's 13.
Bobcats going to take out 2 weeks of frustration in 60 minutes on San Diego. Number three, Montana State wins 42-10. Number four, Tarleton State is at Central Arkansas.
Give me the Texans 56 to Central Arkansas's 10.
I don't expect that kind of football game at all, y'all. Conway, Arkansas on that stripe field is a tough place to go and win. But I think the Texans do win, but I don't think it's anything like Stone described. I like number four, Tarleton State, to keep on rolling, but closer. Tarleton State, 35. Central Arkansas, 24. Utah Tech is at number five, Idaho.
I'm tempted to do it, but I'm not giving up on the Taters yet. This will be a close one, though. This ball game will be tied at half, the third, the fourth. It will get tricky. Vandals squeak out of here. 27-23 on top of Utah Tech.
Utah Tech is going to put it all together 1 week, and they're going to upset somebody. It won't be this week, though. Take number five, Idaho, at home over Utah Tech in the Kibbe Dome, 31-20. Number 11, North Dakota is at number six, Montana.
I'm doing it. Give me the Fighting Hawks upset special of the week. North Dakota, 30. Montana, 24.
Fighting Hawks, Jerry Kaminsky, their quarterback is the key here. If he plays clean, then North Dakota is very dangerous. I believe he will. This is also my upset special of the week. Number one, which maybe makes you think there might be more than one. But take number 11, North Dakota on the road in Missoula over number six, Montana. Fighting Hawks win 38-35. Number seven, Illinois State is at Eastern Illinois.
Nothing much to see here, folks. The Fighting Birds and Brock Spack's mustache will handle the Panthers quite easily. Give me Illinois State 30, Eastern Illinois 13.
Illinois State will win the 113th Mid-America Classic pretty darn easily. Take number 7, Illinois State, 37-14. Number 9, Rhode Island is at Holy Cross.
Pretty tempted here, Kevin. We obviously don't discuss our picks before we go on air. Got a hunch, got a little feeling this is your upset special number 2. I'm going to try to cut you off in line here. Give me upset special of the week number 2 for me. Holy Cross tops Rhode Island 23-20 in what is a very fun ball game.
This is why going second is not very proficient, because I agree with Stone Labanowitz, and I've said it, this will be the third time now. Holy Cross 5 points away from being 2-0 with an FBS win. That misfortune evens out this week. Upset special of the week number 2, take Holy Cross at home over number 9 Rhode Island 28-24. Number 10 Southern Illinois is at number 21 Tennessee Martin.
Listen, I don't know how many times I have to say this before people start believing me, but Southern Illinois is the truth. They're going to lay it on UT Martin. Whatever I say the score is going to be a lot closer than whatever Kevin thinks. He thinks UT Martin has a chance in this one. No way, Jose. Give me the Dogs, the Saluki Dogs, 35 to UT Martin's 14.
I like the Salukis here, not by as much as Stone does. I admire his exuberance and his loyalty to his alma mater. But the reason why Southern Illinois wins this game is DJ Williams. He's going to lead number 10 Southern Illinois to a close, hard-fought, and physical victory at number 21 Tennessee Martin. Take number 10 Southern Illinois on the road, 24-21.
Kevin, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You're the head coach of the Southern Illinois Saluki Dogs. Who do you want leading your team out of the locker room, Stone Labanowitz or DJ Williams?
I'd rather have DJ Williams.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I mean, you're getting fat, bro. Pants for the button on them pants you're wearing Saturday night. She was a screaming, bro. Morehead State is at number 12, Austin Peay.
I like Peay a lot here. I like the ball club overall. I like this team, especially defensively, playing with some tenacity, all hats to a ball. Morehead State, we'll be lucky to even get on the scoreboard here. Give me Peay 42 to Morehead State's 3.
This is going to be all number 12, Austin Peay at home. Let's go Peay, 38-3. Northern Colorado is at number 14, South Dakota.
This one is South Dakota and South Dakota's only. Give me the Yotes with a bad taste in their mouth. Washing their mouth out with NoCo Bears. 35, NoCos, 10.
Ed Lamb brings a very pissed off Northern Colorado team into Vermillion against a desperate South Dakota team. I think that desperate team wins. Take number 14, South Dakota at home over Northern Colorado, 20-17. Number 18, East Tennessee State is at number 22, West Georgia.
I like West Georgia. Give me the Hawks. East Tennessee State still playing without an identity. Not going to bode well for them. 28-27, West Georgia with a walk-off field goal. Calling it right now.
I think East Tennessee State finds that identity this week. West Georgia, no doubt, been impressive so far. And the Buccaneers come to Carrollton, Georgia after getting destroyed by Tennessee. I think the Bucks, they're going to burn the boats this week and win at number 22, West Georgia, 24-23. The Citadel is at number 20, Gardner-Webb.
I think the Citadel is going to surprise a lot of people in this one. If you're watching only because you're a Kevin Marshall fan, I get it. But you might want to get eyes on this one in the first half. The Dogs got a chance to make it really interesting against the other Dogs. But Gardner-Webb, they know how to pound the rock successfully and sustainably throughout 4 quarters of full 60-minute ball game. Give me Gardner-Webb, 24 to the Citadels, 20.
Citadel defense was outstanding last week, and the Bulldogs will need that to be successful in this week's piece of business on the road at Gardner-Webb. I believe they can, and they will. Upset special of the week number 3. Take the Citadel on the road over Gardner-Webb, 31-27. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted and produced by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.